Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast, where Christian friends come together to catch up and explore God-centered conversations. Our goal is to inspire, share stories, and deepen our faith in light of the gospel. Without further ado, let's journey together in this week's episode of the Catch Up Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Catch Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Artias, and I'm here again with my guests, Ashley.
Hey.
And Elias.
What up?
And I know we're doing this because, why are we doing this, Christian? Why are we doing like a double episode, two in a row? It's okay. It's okay. We're hustling. So we're hustlers for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So on the recording right now, it's not yet a Holy Week. It's not Good Friday nor Easter. But when we release this, it's going to be Easter Sunday. And y'all know what that means. What does that mean?
He is risen.
He is risen.
Who is risen?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, that's pretty much it, man. And so we're not going to do any catch up right now because we kind of caught up with that, with each other. Mm-hmm. So, but we're going to get straight to the topic today, which is our topic is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's all about Jesus.
Always has been.
Yeah.
Always will be.
All about him.
All about him.
I get so jealous of y'all people that went to Passion. That y'all just got all the good ones.
Dude, you could come. Dude, you could definitely go next year.
Yeah.
We're going to plan a trip together.
Yeah, me and Mark were planning to go together. You should come.
You should go.
I'm down.
Let's do it.
I'm there.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like the best experience.
One of the best. I think Ethan Wisden's going to be there. Mm. You know Ethan Wisden?
Tall guy, right?
Tall guy, yeah, for sure. So,
It was awesome.
It's amazing. But anyway, so our topic today is about Jesus. And our first question for today is, who was Jesus according to your understanding? Your own understanding. Mm. I know the Bible says do not lean on your own, but.
Yeah. Jesus is my savior.
Jesus
is your savior. He's my best friend.
Oh, dang it.
She stole my
not that he's your best friend, but you stole my answer. Now I gotta think of a new
one.
You
can just say that Jesus is my homie.
I have a higher reverence for my Lord.
There you go.
Yeah,
Michael, you just don't call him homie. I'm sorry.
That's
I like
funny.
Calling people out.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's actually different. I actually learned this the other day. Lord, Jesus, and Christ have like a little bit of different meanings. Lord, or I'm in a Bible class. So it's Life of Christ at Emerald College. So Lord is like ruler, somebody like of authority, somebody who rules you. And then Jesus is Savior and Christ is the Messiah.
Yeah.
So they say it like
that's
that. Cool. So that was actually really cool to learn. But like personally for me, like Jesus is my savior and my best friend.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea now?
Well, he's my best friend too, man. I mean, I remember being a kid and needing a friend and he was always there.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always, never left.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to understand that now that I'm older, that he was there when I didn't even see him.
That's right, yeah.
Like, I sometimes I just have these flashback moments as to where was Jesus at?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, he was right there. Oh, he was right there. And he's just my best friend, man.
Can I tell y'all about a story like that for me?
Go ahead, please.
Is that okay?
Go.
Okay, so whenever I was little, I didn't like grow up in a very religious household. But I remember my mom told me that our like family friend had passed away. And it was like my godmother's sister. And I just remember, like, I have this vivid memory of me saying, like, I want to pray for her. I want to ask God if he can bring her back to life.
Oh, man.
And at that time, I didn't realize what power, like, I had in doing that and, like, authority. And so I just remember praying, like, to God, like, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. Like, can you do this for her? Can you raise her?
Yeah.
Can you bring her back to life? And I think I view that as just like a regular like prayer. But and even though I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, he was right there, like listening. Yeah. And so even though I didn't realize at that time he was right there, like with me and like while I was praying, and like that had like so much, like I had so much authority and power, and like the power that rose him from the grave, like is in me and I have that same authority. I just didn't realize that whenever I was little, but it's really cool to look back now.
So on that note, cause I know like you already talked about like, even before you said you gave your life to Christ, you kind of feel like you have that connection with Christ and also the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So do you think that, even before we said yes to Jesus, that Jesus is already like, I don't know, that we already saved, like we already been saved by Christ, like the, I would say like the outpouring of that evidence is just when we just say, yeah, I give my life to Christ. Do you think like, do you always know that you've always, you're like, Jesus is always with you, and then throughout your whole life, you've always been saved?
I wouldn't say saved, but with me.
Okay.
Because, I mean, even when we were born, like, we were made in his image, you know? And so I know that Jesus has always been with me.
Yeah.
I just don't know about saved.
Okay. What about you?
My name, Elias, means child of God. And so I just known, my mom has also always told me just about who he is. And my grandma. My grandma is one of the most wise counsel I've ever gone to in my life. And so Jesus was something that I learned about as the little kid. I didn't understand the full depths of it, but I always heard the name. And so with that, with my understanding, I felt like his supernatural protection was just always over me with the people that he put in my life.
Yeah.
With the people that, like my family, that the family members that he has, that my family members have encountered him, and they put that into me as a little child. So for me, I would say I've always been saved because I've always known him. At least to heard of the name Jesus. So I would say that his supernatural protection has always been over me.
That's good. Yeah.
But I thought of another one.
Okay.
Dad. He's my father. That one is something that took me forever to understand. It took me honestly till 2 years ago to really fully grasp that Jesus is a dad. God is a father. Because I didn't grow up with my biological father in my life. And so what was missing in my life, I didn't realize it was, I was missing a father. But I was chasing these father figures, these male figures in my life, and they would always just disappoint me. I'd always get hurt by one, always get hurt by another one. And then I realized, like, I was like, why am I getting hurt by all these people that, you know, are pouring into me, that are speaking life into me? At least I thought they were speaking life into me. And one of the pastors, Stephen Rong, he told me, he was like, do you know that the way you see God or the way that you see Jesus is the same way that you see, you know, humans? The same way that you see your actual biological father. If you see your biological father as someone that didn't care about you, and that's someone that's neglected you, how are you going to see your actual heavenly father? And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
So in digging into, and actually John is honestly what helped me see Jesus as that, you know? And so it's just father. That's the one that, that it gets me the most.
What about you, Ashley? You have anything else?
No, that is like eye-opening to me, that because like my biological father has never been present in my life until recently, I would say, like end of high school. But as a child, never. And you know, I never had like that father figure. And so that's just kind of eye-opening.
So would you say that you felt to some degree, and you can hop in on this too, did you feel abandoned? You know, did you feel like, you know, you weren't cared for, you weren't loved by, you know, by people in your life, and you understood, oh, what I'm looking for is Jesus. What I'm looking for is God. Like, did you ever feel that feeling?
Definitely felt like abandoned, like why, but also like my mom like truly stepped in as like father figure and mom figure, like as both. So I never really felt, but I never felt really abandoned because like she was there. But also when I thought like, why don't I have like a dad? Like I wish, like looking at my friends' families, like why don't I have a family like that? You know? And so I would feel that type of abandonment.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
you go? Do you have anything to say?
Oh no. Gosh dang, no. I would just say like, what's the question? I'm sorry. I just like, what's the question you asked?
The question was, did you ever feel abandoned? Like, did you feel, you know, you didn't see God as father, you know, you didn't see him as a dad. Was there a point in time when you were growing up where you didn't see that until where you realized that what I was looking for was my heavenly father? Mm-hmm. But I was disappointed by people in my life that I couldn't see that.
Yeah.
And I was giving him that. I was giving the people in my life the same image I was giving God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's mostly every one of us here. I don't think it's just like attributing it to your father. I think it's also like with friendships and relationships, you know, we tend to, again, going back to idols, we tend to idolize and put them on the pedestal instead of God. So we have those tendencies. And, but no, I would say there are oftentimes I feel like I'm abandoned by God, but I know that's not the truth. It just feels like that because we live in a broken world, right? We live in a broken world where, like, you know, we go through trials and brokenness, and there's spiritual warfare that's happening out there, right? But the fact still stands that there's a God who lives. And he's sitting in the heavenly places, and that he is interceding for us. He's our high priest. He's in the Holy of Holies. He's in the most upper room place in the whole world, and that he is looking for us. I mean, he's looking at us. There's a book by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly, and it emphasizes there that like how Jesus being our high priest is the best news. Him being up there is the fact that he watches over all creation and his dominion over all things. And being reminded of that, I would say for me, gives me a lot of comfort that I'm not abandoned by God. Mm-hmm. There's a God, there's a priest, a high priest that is sitting up there that is praying for me, that is telling God, like, hey, I died for that person. That person is righteous because of me. Yeah. And that there's a person that's always talking on my behalf. Hebrews talks about that. So, but yeah, I there are times I do feel abandoned by God. And I think that's going to be us from time to time, especially, I mean, hoping all of us here get married. But once we get married, you know, sometimes like our spouse is going to be a pain in the butt. And then sometimes we just feel so alone and we will feel abandoned. But our faith and our relationship with God is more than just a feeling, you know, it's based on a truth that there was our God is alive and that, he will never leave us nor forsake us.
And I think a cool thing to tie that is, you know, think about the woman at the well, you know. She was abandoned by her husbands. You know, she married five times.
Seven yeah.
Times.
Yeah.
One of those numbers.
Like five or six.
Five or six. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then he was like, bring your husband. I think it was the six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she didn't realize what she was missing. She knew that she was missing Christ, but she didn't like attribute it to I'm right in front of you. Like Jesus is like, I'm here. Like it's me.
The living water.
I'm the living water. Mm-hmm. A spring that will leave you, that won't leave you thirsty.
Yeah.
Is that in John 4? I just want
to. Yeah, it is John. Yeah, yeah.
I just want to read that.
Go ahead.
It's so good.
Can you read that actually?
Go ahead. John 4?
Yeah. Let's read it together. Come on, bro.
At the same time.
Let's get our Bibles out, y'all.
At the same time. He's going to read it. What translation are you?
I am in the NIV.
Oh, okay.
John Quattro.
That's a long one. Oh, my gosh.
All right. We're reading the entire thing?
It's up to you, bro. Whatever the Spirit is.
Read.
I don't know. We don't have to.
We can.
I mean, we can read.
Just verse 13. We're pulling from John 4, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in verse 13. Where you can read verse 13 if you want.
Verse 13.
What he said to the Samaritan.
Ashley, would you like to do it?
Why me?
Because.
Okay. Okay. Shouldn't we?
Verse 13.
Oh, okay. Should I start at 7 because that's when she comes in?
Go ahead.
Okay. Excuse if I don't say something wrong or if I say something wrong. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is that that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus asked her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
That's good.
Yeah. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. Mm-hmm. What you have said is true." Hold on.
That's good.
Yeah.
And that's not even just attributing to, that's the world as well. Like, the world mm-hmm. doesn't know that they're searching for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The world doesn't know that he is the living water.
Yeah.
They're searching for springs that, you know, that they have to come to over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah. That cup is going to run empty.
And it's going to run mm-hmm. empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the main root of our sin is basically, I think in Romans 1, where it says that, that we have exchanged the creator for the creature for the creator. So we desired the things that God created instead of going to our creator. Like, imagine if someone, if you're about to get married to someone and the only reason that they marry you is because of your money or your car, and that's not because of you, right? It's not real love. That's what happens. Like, sometimes, like, even like people that claim to be Christians might have those kind of heart. And that's mm-hmm. why when we always tell people that it's Jesus that you're looking for, you know, whenever you're looking for a companion, it's always Jesus. Whenever you're looking for satisfaction, it's always Jesus. Because our hearts are made for God. So when you try to like take your heart everywhere else and it doesn't fit, you know, and it doesn't satisfy it, you're just like, what the heck? Like, why this thing won't satisfy me? Why can't my job satisfy me? Why can't my significant other satisfy me? It's because mm-hmm. Jesus is the only one who can do that.
Yeah.
Because your heart is made for Jesus, and your heart, you're taking your heart to something else that is not made for. Mm-hmm. So I think that for us, and it's a good news right now because we've all fall under that sin. And it's good news that, you know, like we're talking about Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead. And because we've all done that, we can find forgiveness in him, that we could come to him and he still loved us, mm-hmm. even though we traded God for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I traded God for so many things, like a desire for a significant other, like, mm-hmm. and yet God still loved me, even mm-hmm. though he wasn't my first love. But I was his, and I was like, mm-hmm. dude, this is the best news. And he died for me. But yeah, and I think sometimes we might avoid that very much like this Samaritan woman here. Because even like, you know, Jesus pointed out what's wrong in her life. And she even asked like, oh, crap, I'm going to avoid this. I'm going to steer away. Okay, what about you said that we can't worship in this mountain? And that's like her response to that. And sometimes we have the tendency to kind of like steer away and avoid the hard conversations whenever God is trying to point out to us the heart of our sin, the heart of our problem.
He's like, I'm right in front of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm right in front of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, so I would say like, you know, like it's good to know that it's all about Jesus. Jesus is who you're looking for, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes we get so caught up in like looking for the next big thing mm-hmm. or the thing that will satisfy us.
Mm-hmm.
But because if you look at the world, you know, like you look at Hollywood, there's so many people that make it to Hollywood and they have all the riches, all the fame. And still, like, they still fall.
They're still unfulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, something that I noticed the other day is that a lot of people in Hollywood aren't married.
Mm.
Like, a lot of them are single people.
Yeah.
You know, even, like, musicians. Like, list the famous ones. Drake.
Huh.
Who's another hot one? Dua Lipa, you know. Mm. Doja.
okay.
None of them are... There's chasing the fame and the glory, but they're still empty at the bottom.
Yeah. And Jesus is the only one who can satisfy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just reminds me of Psalm 63.
Oh,
a lot. Will you pull it
was
up? It?
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's one of the, that's the verse. I mean, that's the passage I was actually crying over the other day.
Yeah. This has been a verse that.
Was that he was thirsty or something? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. My soul thirsts for you.
My soul thirsts for you. Like awesome. Only you yeah. can satisfy. Like this has been a verse that like God has really highlighted out to me. Like in my past season and like this season I'm in right now. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's amazing. You
read
can
it.
Read.
Read it.
Okay.
You have a better voice than I do, so.
Thanks.
Audiobook.
Audiobook.
Do you want me to read the whole thing?
The whole thing, yeah.
Okay.
It's only a couple verses.
Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Mm-hmm.
But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped.
Dude.
It's love so
that.
Good.
It is really good.
So good.
The one thing that really, for me, that made me weep when I was reading that was like, my soul clings to you.
Mm.
Your right hand upholds me. And I think it's easy for us to think that it was us who's holding on to God. I don't think that. I think God is the one who's holding on to us because of the fact that he says that, I think it's in John where he says, no one can pluck you out of my hand.
Mm.
Meaning, it is God who's holding on to us. And that gives us a lot of comfort that he will never let us go.
Yeah.
And that just gives me a lot of hope that I'm like, because there are times, I want to be honest with y'all, there are times like I actually want to leave Christianity because of my sin. I want to follow my own flesh. There are times I actually want to do that. For some reason, unknown reason, I know it's the spirit, that I'm always drawn back to God. Like something is pulling me. Even though like I really want to leave, I really want to go. I'm still being drawn back. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found out like, oh my gosh, he won't let me go. He won't allow me to go because that's how much he loves me. And that's just like, I think that's why when I was going through that and I was reading Psalm 63, it explained it a lot. I was like, gosh, dang. I was like, my goodness. I was so thirsty for something, a satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to look at for something else. And then God won't let me go because he knows only he can satisfy me. And dude, it's just, I don't know. I just, thank you for actually pointing out that I've completely forgot about this passage. I love this.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Do you have anything, Elise?
I'm processing because that's so true. In my life, whenever I have had every single right to turn away from the Lord, God didn't let me.
Mm.
I could have become the stereotypical Northside kid, junkie, womanizer, drugs, could have did all of that, you know, gangs. And I had those desires. It's just like, man, what if I just this could be so much easier. Like, I'm not going to have to worry about any of this. I can just, I can bask in my own loneliness and I could willow my own self-pity and I could be, honestly, be a villain.
Mm, yeah.
But he never let me.
Dude. Dang,
no, no matter if I had that feeling and that desire to turn away from him, he never let me.
Mm-hmm,
no. And I think that's, I don't know if that's for all of us as believers, because I have heard people like, oh, God let me go and I had to, you know, but for me personally, he's never let me leave him.
Mm, that's good. Yeah.
And there's power in that, you know.
There's so much power.
We're called to do greater things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just cool that he's never let me go, never let you go, never let you go.
Yeah. Because there's, oh my gosh, there's a passage in Romans 8. I love this, where it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That emphasize the emphasis on like nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Again, gives us a lot of comfort that we are safe in the hands of God.
Yes.
Like not even ourselves. We can't even take ourselves out of God's hands. And that just gives me, again, comfort, hope, right? And I don't know. That's just so encouraging just to kind of hear that and be able to know like, gosh, dang, there's a God that really loves me. Because I think that's God actually loving us, right? If you like, when you really love someone and they're about to go to a dangerous place, like, and you know it's going to mess them up, you don't want to let them go. Mm-hmm. You don't want to, because that's how much you love them. I think that's sometimes like, from what I felt at the time, I think that's what God did to me. Like, I think he loved me to let, like, that's why he didn't let me go. And I think this, it just makes sense. And I think for some people as well, like, you know, we tend to drift away sometimes, but I think God is still chasing us.
You absolutely know? He's right behind us.
He's right behind us,
you know, he's even just though, waiting for us to turn around.
Exactly. Like the prodigal son.
Yeah,
you know,
so true.
Like the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. You have something, Ashley?
Yeah, well, as I was saying earlier, like whenever I like moved away like to Mississippi, I feel like that was just me, like God was right behind me, and I was in front of him. It just took me a while to turn back around. But he was still right there in his hand within everything, you know.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing, man. We don't deserve Jesus.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, I'm like, gosh, dang, like, yeah, there are times I just like think like, God, like Jesus, why would you love a person? Why would you hold on to a person like me? Like there are times I hate you and there are times I complain to you. Mm-hmm. And there are times I don't even think about you. Like, why would you still love me? And oh my gosh.
And even defending, you know, God, defending Jesus. Like I found myself in a conversation. And I was like, man, that actually makes me mad what they did to you on the cross. Mm. Like what? Like I'm going to fight for you. Yeah. Like I'm your soldier.
Mm-hmm.
They pinned you down.
Yeah.
They give you a crown of thorns.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to think, wait a minute. I put you there.
I did it. It was me.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Dude.
It's like I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Like it's the ultimate forgiveness and ultimate mercy and grace.
That's facts. There was a saw on TikTok like a few years ago where it's like, you know, the Barabbas.
Oh, right? The Barabbas
and
song.
Yeah. Like when they're like
from his perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when the Pilate, Pontius Pilate was like saying, like, you know, like should I crucify Jesus on the place of Barabbas? And they're like, yeah, crucify Jesus, let Barabbas go. And there's this like thought when we were reading it, and you're like, why would you let a criminal go? Like, well, what would Jesus take his place? Mm. Like, he doesn't have to do that. He's innocent.
Yeah.
And that's the point. We are Barabbas. Mm-hmm. That's what happened on the cross. That should have been us. Mm-hmm. But Jesus took his place. And that's what happened to us, is that he took on the punishment of our sin upon himself. And that literally bawled my eyes. I was like, dude, like, wow, there's nothing that I don't know. It's just unfathomable. Like,
it was so selfless.
It's so selfless.
Because even himself, there was points where he didn't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
He didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And that just shows the human aspect of who Jesus was.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, let me live. Let this cup pass from me.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
It's like, if there's any other way.
If there's any other way, let it be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
he did it because he was so selfless. Yeah. He understood the goal was we are going to live with him in eternity.
Yeah. And he thought about each and every one of us on that cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just crazy how a God like that would go that to that measure for someone that will not be able to do that for him. Mm-hmm. Because I don't, like, there are times where, like, I'll be like, you know, Jesus, if Christianity becomes illegal, you know, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to get beheaded for you. And then there are times where I feel like, okay, I'm kind of sounding like Peter now, when Jesus was like, hey, you're going to deny me. And mm-hmm. Peter was like, oh, no, you're going to deny me. Mm-hmm. Peter was like, no, Jesus, I'm not going to. Like, you know, like, I love you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to fight for you. And then at that, you know, towards the very end, he was like, oh, I don't know Jesus. I don't know who that is. And there's just, I caught myself down. I was like, okay, I can't really say that. Because if Peter, who's very close to Jesus, you know, said that I'm going to die for you and change his mind last minute, like, who am I who's like, dude, it's, you know, but yet again, like, Jesus was still gracious to Peter, right? When Jesus asked him, like, you know, do you love me, Peter? He asked him three times. And what got me there is, like, towards the very end, like, you know, like, Peter was like, yes, Jesus, I love you. Lord, why are you asking me this? I love you. And then he just, his response is like, tend my sheep.
Bro.
And I'm just like, that means that, oh my gosh, he is forgiven. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to ask. Jesus knows that Peter loves him, mm-hmm. but he wants it to hear, like, he wants Peter to hear himself. And that assurance of, like, receiving that forgiveness. And I think sometimes, like, you know, when we pray to God asking for forgiveness, we had a question actually in our youth where, like, one of our youth guys asked, like, why do we have to ask for forgiveness to Jesus if we're already forgiven? And my actual response to that is, like, we don't have to say that. Us asking for forgiveness is basically for us.
Yep.
To remind us that, hey, this is who I am. This is how low I am. This is how unrighteous I am. And yet you still love me. And you receive that forgiveness. And it's for you. It's mm-hmm. not for God. And again, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. But
and one of the coolest things about Jesus dying for us, and God was like, watch this. My son's going to rise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, come on.
Like, he's Woo. Risen.
Yeah, clap for God.
Like, you thought that was it? No, mm-hmm. he's risen.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest parts is that he still got to stay with them and talk to them for 40 mm-hmm. days.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, like, some of his disciples doubted still.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Thomas, he uh-huh. was like, you know, he was like, hey, unless I put, like, my finger in the, you know, in his hands, like, I'm not going to believe that he's risen. And then he showed up. He was like, hey, what's up?
he rose. Like, and in those 40 days, he spent time saying, I'm not going to stay here. Mm-hmm. But the mission, you now know the mission mm-hmm. is to make more disciples.
Yeah.
It's to bring people to the kingdom.
Yeah. It's the fact that they also changed their minds. Because
exactly.
before then, like, they are willing to abandon Christ, right? Before he died. And then after witnessing him resurrected, they're like, no, I'm going to die for this. I'm willing to die for this faith. Because even the Roman Empire, I think, or and even the religious leaders at the time, they're telling him, like, just renounce and we're going to let you live. Mm. And like, no, I've seen Jesus. He is alive. Mm-hmm. It makes me believe even more in Christianity because they know what they're getting themselves into. They know they're going to die. And yet they know that, no, I've seen God, Jesus, alive. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to renounce that. But again, that's just, like, I don't know, evidence that I put a lot of faith that Christianity is real because, you know, mm-hmm. what is that?
Is that me?
No, it's not. It might be me. Oh.
Yeah. Michael just texted.
Oh.
So, anyways, but yeah, do you have anything else? Ashley?
I had a thought. I did have a thought.
You got this.
Just when you were talking about, like, they were willing to die, like, us as Christians, like, we have to lay our lives down and die mm-hmm. For Christ, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's just, like, I just had that thought because we're, like, thinking about that, like, they did that. And so that was just an example of, like, what we do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Isn't there, like, a passage in Romans 12 where it says, like, offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and that is going to be your worship,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, constantly dying to ourselves, you know, it's the least that we can do for mm-hmm. someone that lived and died for us.
I mean, mm-hmm. Jesus did it.
Mm-hmm.
He had to die to himself before he actually died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. That's so true.
I mean, every single thing that we do as humans, Jesus had to do, and he had to encounter it as well.
Oh, yeah.
He had to encounter Satan talking in his ear, trying to bend the word to him.
Yeah.
He had to die to himself. He had to forgive. Mm-hmm. He had to trust. And as humans, you're like, oh, it's so hard for me to forgive this person. It's so hard for me to mm-hmm. trust this person. Oh, it's hard. So, you know, and put it, Jesus did it before us.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. That's why, like, when you know the gospel now, it's kind of easy to mm-hmm. forgive. Mm-hmm. I don't know about some of y'all, but for me, it's like, I know, let's just say hypothetically, Elias did something really bad. I don't know. To me, I don't know.
What he's I slashed your tires.
There you go. Something like that. I don't know. But it's easy for me to forgive because, number one, like, I know he's going to make a mistake. I know that he's going to fail me. This is what I tell all my friends, by the way. It's like, hey, I know you're going to fail me. You're going to mm-hmm. be suck at being my friend. But here's the thing. I expect that and expect that you are forgiven in Christ. That is who you are. You're not defined by your mistakes. You're not defined by your sin. You're defined by who Christ says that you are. And when Christ says that you are forgiven and you are forgiven in his eyes, who am I not to see you in the same light, right? Mm-hmm. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis, and he says, God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. So who are we to not forgive the inexcusable in others, right?
That's good.
And it grounds you into the reality of like, dude, we've been forgiven this much. Mm-hmm. We also have to extend that same forgiveness.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a parable also in Matthew where it's like, there's a servant and he was like, he was freed out of the debt. And then like, he went up to one of his servants and was like, hey, you owe me $5, you know, mm-hmm. you still owe me this. And then the king found out about it. I was like, dude, mm-hmm. I freed you with the debt and you're mm-hmm. still like, you went to your servant who owes you only a small amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's us with Jesus. It's like when you know how the weight of how much you've been forgiven, mm-hmm. it is hard for you not to forgive others.
Yeah.
But I've been talking a lot. I'm sorry. Do you have anything else?
No, that's all really good. That just reminds me, I don't remember where it's at, but it's like forgive like 70 times seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes it can be hard, like, especially when we don't get along with certain people and they're like, I don't want to forgive them, you know? But Jesus has set like a really good example mm-hmm. for that and like how we should do that.
Yeah. Amen.
Guys, Jesus died for you. He died for every single sin. He died for your impure thoughts. Mm-hmm. He died for your addictions. He died for your want of control. He died for every single thing. I can go down the list. He died for drug abuse. He died for you didn't send the point. Yeah. Jesus died for you.
Yeah.
Every single thing.
Yeah.
And you are mm-hmm. not too far gone. You can get close to the Father. Because mm-hmm. he's already close to you. Yeah. He's just waiting for you to change your mind and turn around. Mm-hmm. So get close to your Heavenly Father. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
He died for you. He loves you. And not only did he die for you, he showed his resurrection that there is a bigger goal and we're all going to ascend into heaven. And he wants to have eternal relationship with you.
Yeah. All mm-hmm. is forgiven in Christ. Yeah. All is forgiven. Oh. Jesus died once for all. That's why I also emphasize in the podcast, like he didn't die for the sins of your past. Not even your present. He also died for the sins of your future stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the joy that we get to have in Christ. That's mm-hmm. why I believe in Christianity mm-hmm. because it's the only religion that, number one, that God is alive, mm-hmm. right? And number two, that like, it's a religion that is based on a relationship. Mm-hmm. That
it's personal.
Yes, personal. And it's hard to, again, it's hard to go away from, because of the love that God has for us. Mm-hmm. Like he's not condemning us. Like we're going to be judged, but we're not going to be judged because if we're good enough Christians, mm-hmm. we'll be judged because, hey, he sees Jesus in us. And that's what allows us to get in heaven mm-hmm. only through Jesus in Christ alone, mm-hmm. in Christ alone. Anything other than that, it's not by our works.
And yeah. I was about to say that.
If you're so worried about your imperfections, if you're so worried about, I did this, I did that, don't be. Mm-hmm. I'm imperfect. She's imperfect. Mm-hmm. He's imperfect. There's things that we've done, things that we're not proud of. There's people that we've, quite frankly, I think about this a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's times where I led people the wrong way. And even if I was trying to evangelize to them, he died for that too. Mm-hmm. So he died for you and he loves you.
Yeah. And speaking of that, just, I'm sorry, you got
something to say? Oh, no, I don't have anything to say.
Like, aside from, like, that evangelize, one thing that I actually learned is that it is not your goal. Like, I think you kind of talked about this in the last episode, that it is not your goal to change people or convict people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with evangelism. It is not your job to save them. It is your job to be the witness of the good news and let the Spirit do his thing.
Preach right? it.
So that's why Romans 1 says, like, for the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Yeah. So it is not your words that allows people to be saved. It is the power of the gospel.
Yes.
For crying out loud, Jonah, the prophet Jonah, preached the worst sermon in the whole world. Mm-hmm. He says to the people of Nineveh, you guys are going to die. And the people of Nineveh repented for just that. And I would say, for when you evangelize, you can't mess it up. Mm-hmm. You're just planting seeds.
Yeah, that's all it is planting seed.
Yeah. So does anyone else have anything?
That's good.
And you get better at it over time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's just, that's why I keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So
repetition.
Yeah.
Repetition. Do you have any final thoughts, Ashley?
I don't know.
Do you have any final thoughts, Elias?
Yeah, Easter is about Jesus. It's not about a bunny.
Yeah.
True.
It's about Jesus.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Mm-hmm. You better say it. You better say it.
Yeah.
And that his blood just covers you.
Yes. Yes. That's why Easter is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
It's just like I get to sing Jesus is alive in church out loud.
Also, I encourage y'all. If y'all, when they're going to see this on Easter?
Yes, they're going to see this and then listen to this on Easter. So, right, yeah.
Okay. Most people, the day most people go to church is Easter. I challenge you to actually listen. Don't just put on a cute outfit just for a cute picture. Actually listen. Actually understand that Jesus died for you and he loves you. And he wants a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, take that. Yeah. He wants a relationship with you.
Amen.
He doesn't just want to, he's not someone that just wants to check up on you. He wants to be with you all the time.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. All right, Ashley, do you want to close this out in prayer?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Bow your heads.
Okay.
Okay. Felt like a kid.
Oh. Yeah. Put your hands like this. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you that we're able to hear you and hear your voice. And I thank you that your presence is near and that we can feel your presence. Jesus, ultimately, we honor you and we love you. And I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your blood, that it covers me and it covers all of our sins, past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you for what you endured on the cross for us.
Amen.
I thank you, that you left your spirit with us to be our helper. We honor you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Again, thank you guys for being here.
Anytime.
Yes. And yeah. So any final things to say for Easter or any... I don't know.
It's going to be a long church day for me. And it's going to be great.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Same.
It's going to be good, but it's going to be a long day.
It's going to be a long day.
We're all church leaders. So we're all
wake up at 7. Busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wake up at like 12 and then celebrate it with your family. So.
Celebrate with your family. Yes. So yeah, that's pretty much it that we have. So happy Easter with you guys.
Yay.
I know it's not Easter yet when we're recording this, but it's going to be Easter by then.
Yeah.
So if you have any thoughts, questions, suggestions, or corrections, you could email us at catchuppodcast2023@gmail.com. And I want to thank you, Ashley, again, and Elias, and our production manager, Christian.
Yeah.
And I also forgot to thank you, the producer, Martin Soul, for allowing us to use the studio.
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes. And what is the other one? The captured, I'm sorry.
Clearly captured.
Yes. The studio that actually owns this is by Clearly Captured. So we just want to thank them. Shout out. They're great people. Amazing.
And
Christians.
And thank you, Mark, for providing the space for us to just talk about Jesus.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
It's a pleasure. And hopefully we get to it. Again, this is not going to be the last time. So,
no.
But yeah. Well, happy Easter, guys. We'll see you on the next podcast episode. Yeah. Happy Easter.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Deuces. Bye.
Deuces. Thanks for catching up with us on the Catch Up Podcast. If you enjoyed our God-centered conversations, share the love by sharing this on your social media or leave a review. Don't forget to tune in next week for more uplifting chats. Until next time, we will catch you on the next episode of the Catch Up Podcast.